and to remind ourselves of his admonitions to us. There are no divine suggestions, they're commandments, and yet they come with the promise of the full power of the Spirit to enable us. Indeed, that you and the person of the Holy Spirit, who is made unto us, Jesus Christ within us, will come within us and will live the only life that is pleasing to you, the life of your only Son. And in this aspect today, I pray that you'd help us to open our hearts and receive with an understanding and a welcoming attitude. This aspect, which it is spoken of so often that I'm afraid it becomes a little jaded to us. We hear so much about love and God's love, and we're to love one another and all of these things. Matter of fact, today being Valentine's Day, we think of love between husband and wife and family members and close acquaintances and those here in our church, even as we give tokens of affection or wish them well or draw close to one another. And yet there is an aspect of the love of God, of your love within us, that is above and beyond the very monotone and monochromatic element that we've turned it into. It is challenging, it is demanding. As a matter of fact, yet again, as your law would do, you show to us our complete incapability, our incapacity, not just to understand, but beyond that to fulfill it. And yet the promise to us is that if we will yield to you, that you yourself will come and live this life through us. And what a world-changing thing that would be if Christians lived as though Christ really lived within them. So help us today. I pray that you would help me. Help me to be clear. We're not come here today to be entertained. We're not come here today to be propped up and to be told that everything we're doing is well and fine and going the way that it should be. Lord, we're come here tonight not just to be challenged, but to be encouraged that there is more, and we can be more through the power of your Spirit. So let tonight be encouraging as well as challenging, and then, Lord, let us leave here to live different lives. We pray this in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right. The eternal word became the living word. The people saw a living demonstration of the law and ways of God. The living word was sacrificed and rose again, and those who live in him should give a living demonstration of the love and life of the Son of God. Remember that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. That was not a term of endearment. It was a slur. It was given in an attitude of, you're little Christs. You think you can live like him. You're trying to live as that Nazarene. And by their living and by their life, they isolated themselves from the ways of the world and put everyone on notice that there could never be anything but a total change if you were going to name the name of Christ. You had to live differently. If you were going to name his name, you were going to be different than the rest of the world. And this was not a clenched fist in the face of the world. These were open arms saying, come, you need to come. We have been shown and we have been given exactly what you need. We're no different than you. What we have been given is offered to you. But the inroad, the open gate and the open door to allowing that to come in was this attitude of love. This attitude not of some kind of sentimental affectation. But when you met someone who was a Christian, there was in their eyes, there was in their life, there was in their very bearing
such a stalwart confidence that their feet were squarely planted upon the bedrock of the knowledge that all was well. All was well. Do to us what you will. Cast us out. Categorize us as all kind of miscreants. All you could heap anything you want on it, we'll wade right through it and show you that we care about you, we love you. You are not the enemy. You're the prize. You're the goal. And as he has sought us, we seek you in his name. And there was a welcoming and a challenging aspect to those lives. And the people would say, those that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. And there was a sense in their lives, of the lives of the people of that time in the world, that when these people showed up, things were going to change. Because they had been irrevocably altered by this Nazarene. And it was compelling. It was challenging. It was demanding. And yet they were able to do it because they claimed that someone within them was doing the work. Just as Jesus said, if you don't believe my words, believe the works. The Father does these things through me. He's the one doing it. It's the same way we are supposed to live. And in this aspect of love, we have to ask ourselves the question, if we're to give a living demonstration of the love and the life of Jesus Christ, we have to ask ourselves, do we? Do we? When people meet us, are they absolutely compelled to say, there is something different about her? There is something different about him. This is no longer a game. They're not moralizing. They are slicing through the noise of this world and they are living a life radically different from anything we've seen. How? And then that's the open door by which we say, well, it's not me. Let me introduce you to the one who's doing it. And so in this regard, this message of God seen in the life of Christ, is it mirrored in me? Is it mirrored in you? Have we made his message ours? Or are we speaking our own message? Are we doing our own thing? Have we made his message ours? 1 Corinthians 13, if you would. Here is a very famous passage on this concept of godly love. We're going to look at that for a while tonight by God's grace. First of all, let's meet the message. We know the passage starting with 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 4. Charity, of course, that's the translator's word for godly love, the highest form of love, that agape love. We're familiar with those terms, that term. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Wow. If this is love, sign me up. I'm on with this. This is good. I'll take that. And so what do these words mean? We're going to start in this. We're going to meet the message here. We're going to do a little bit of a word study. Hang in there, okay? But let's look at some of these words and see a little bit more of the meaning there. Charity, first of all, suffereth long. Literally, macrothumos, it's slow to heat. It's slow heated. It's long, and before it's like a fuse, it burns a long time before anything happens. It takes a lot. It is slow to heat and is kind. Literally, easygoing. It's the same word found in Matthew 11:30, where it says, my yoke is easy. It's the same word. It's kind. My yoke is kind. My yoke is easy. So charity suffers long and is kind. Number two, charity envieth not. It's an energetic word. It does not boil with covetousness. It doesn't boil with covetousness. Where everything is a comparison. You have more than me. I desire what you have. I'm not satisfied unless I can be like you and have the things that you have. Or be the way that you are. That's not love. Charity would not do that kind of a thing. Charity vaunteth not itself, does not arrogantly brag about itself. Look at me, see me, understand me. It's not me-centered at all. Number four, charity is not puffed up. It doesn't is not inflated. It's pretty understandable. It's not inflated with self. No pride there. Number five, charity does not behave itself unseemly. This is the idea. It does not behave in a deformed, indecent manner. Something that is twisted. My dad had a saying, maybe you've heard, he said, that man's crooked as a dog's hind leg. Anybody here ever heard something like that? And there's an understanding that says, look, there are certain things that should be straight. And when you see it and it's not straight, you go, nah, there's something wrong here. Godly love is not twisted. It is not deformed. It does not, by the way, it will not conform itself to our own understanding of what we think it should be. Godly love, exhibited by Him and should be exhibited to us, through us, to others, is going to speak the truth in such a way that people know, I may not exactly like that. I may not even agree with it. But I can see that it's designed to help. I can see that it's intended to do the right thing. Charity seeketh not her own, is not preoccupied with self-discovery. You ever heard someone say, I've got to go discover myself? Well, boy, are you in for a disappointment. I mean, you're just in for a bad ride there, because there's nothing in you that's worth anything. There's nothing in me that's worth anything. I know that is in me, that is in my flesh dwells what? No good thing. It's an empty venture. It starts as a four-lane highway. It takes an exit. It goes down a two-lane road. It takes another left turn. Pretty soon you're on a footpath. It ends up at a bush and a dead end. And you're going, what is this? Well, that's your self-discovery. So there's nothing for it. It does not seek its own. Charity is not easily provoked. Is not easily exasperated. Don't raise your hand, but do you know somebody that can push your button? Easy. Someone that they can just look at you and you go, don't you do that. I'll hit you so hard you quit rolling, your clothes will be out of style. I mean, it's just that kind of a thing. It's all you can handle. And there are some situations where you go, I can't deal with, and fill in the blank. But charity does not do that. Charity says, I am ironclad. There's nothing you can do that can offend me. Well, I'm not quite there. Charity, easy. Charity thinks no evil. Say that again. Charity never thinks evil. It does not impute, recount, or inventory evil to another's account. They said that to me. You hear the tone of what? They did that on purpose. That's wicked. I've lived in several places. Many of you have, this is not the place where you originally came from. You've come from other places or whatever. But there is a universal attitude that says, I feel like I should say what I think about a certain situation. And we call that, well, I just speak plainly. No, you're just rude. Well, I have to give my opinion. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't. Well, I have to speak my mind. Please spare us. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak as though Scripture itself was coming out of your mouth. And so charity does not think evil of someone else. Now, you may find out that there are evil things. You may find out that there is wrongdoing. But you don't impute that automatically to someone's account. They did that on purpose. She did that on purpose. They fail to do this. They don't care. There's no place for that in the Christian life. Charity would not behave that way. Charity rejoices not in evil, in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It does not celebrate evil. Do you know how many times, and Peggy and I, we've talked about this before, how many times that we'd be watching something on the television and we're laughing, and then you stop and you go, wait a minute, that was funny? I thought that was funny. But if that were really happening to me, I would say it was a tragedy. But it's entertainment. And we laugh at those things. Why? Because the world has inured us to an understanding of what's really going on. So it doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Now, to expand that, like an interlude, it would say, finds no celebration in evil, but to the contrary and greater degree, it finds a cause for congratulation in the truth. Charity beareth all things. It bears up, and there's a little bit of an understanding here in the language. It bears up in the idea of as a defensive measure against trouble or danger, and it is going to stay the term. It's going to endure. So when we read things like charity bears all things, it's the idea of it plants its feet, and it's going to bear up under these things. Why? Because there's something I'm protecting back here. I will not let it pass. Read it again in charity believes all things. It trusts because there's something at stake, and I'm going to stand here. I will not let it get past me. The same thing, charity hopeth all things. It waits in confidence. Why? Because I'm protecting something. There's something back here that matters. I'm standing in the way, and I will not let it pass. Charity endureth all things, perseveres, same idea. Why? Because there's something that I'm defending. Charity never faileth. Expanding that reading, charity never at any time ever falls away from the goal through its own weakness. You ever heard of the term crop failure? Charity never fails. You say, well, I tried that and it failed. It wasn't charity that failed. Because God never fails. Well, I tried that. It didn't work. No, it works. You didn't work it right. You say, well, it's hard. Oh, yeah, it's hard. As a matter of fact, it's impossible in our strength, in our own strength. So this is the message. This is what love is like. And it is not so much a box of chocolates as it is someone standing in armor with a sword drawn in their hand and a shield ready to do battle. That's love. Because we live in a wicked world, amen? We have enemies, right? The enemy shouldn't be anybody in this room. Shouldn't be anybody in here that's the enemy. But how often we behave, like the enemy. Why? Because we don't know what the message of love is. We've lost track of it. That is the message. Number two, let's meet the master. In each one of these things, in every place, at every time, when he was a little child playing around his mother's knees, when he was learning his craft in that carpenter shop, when he was beginning his ministry, when he was going into Jerusalem to face that cross, when he came out of the tomb, at every time and at every place, we could say this about Christ. And we could drop his name into every one of these things and read it this way: Christ suffers long and is kind. And it worked. Christ never envies. Jesus Christ does not vaunt himself. Jesus Christ is not puffed up. Jesus Christ never behaves himself unseemly. Never. Christ never seeks his own way. Never. He could say, I do always those things that please my Father. Always. He could say to his enemies, which of you convinces me of sin? And it wasn't bragging. It was a simple statement of fact. Christ is not puffed up. Christ is not easily provoked. Christ thinks no evil. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christ does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. And then the wonderful ending, Christ bears all things, always, with a full set of understanding of the endurance that says, why? Because something back here matters. I will not let it pass. That's what he did for us, folks, right? And the eternal wrath of an eternal God burned itself out on the cross. Because the justice of a holy God said, there's nothing left to reckon. I've consumed it all in him, and there he stands. He did that for us. We could not do it for ourselves. Christ believes all things. Christ hopes all things. Christ endures all things. Praise God, Christ never fails. Isn't that great to know? Christ never fails. Number three. Now we meet the mission. That is making his message mine. Because that's what I'm called to do. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Took upon him, we talked about this morning, took upon him the form of a servant. And in his obedience, faced a cross. This is the message then. As with Christ in his relationship to the will of God, so we should show the will of God in our lives, yet the task is only accomplished through the power of Christ in us. Hear these words now, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Period. That's the life. I'm dead. What is it that I bring to the table? I come to him, I stretch out on a cross, I let him put my flesh to death, only for his indomitable, victorious life now to inhabit me, to raise me up, and to live in victory. Right? Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. Philippians 3:9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. What was the greatest expression of his loyalty to his heavenly Father? He died. That's what we're to do, is to die. But then if we die, we get to live this life. That's the way it works. I exchange my life for his life. By the way, I can never be the loser when I do that. Nothing is ever lost that is committed to God. Nothing is ever lost. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. And since it is Christ who is in you, that glory is secured. It's absolutely guaranteed, you see. That's the strength of the promise. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 and 12. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've met the message. What love really is, we've seen the Master, he perfectly satisfied these things. In every place where it talks about love, we could put his name and say, yep, I see it. Can the world, when looking at me, looking at you, be able to say, Christ in Joe suffers long and is kind? Can you put your name in these spots? Peggy does not envy. James does not vaunt himself. Ray is not puffed up. Christ, put your name there, in you, does not behave unseemly. Your name does not seek his own way. You are not easily provoked. You think no evil. You do not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. You bear all things. You believe all things. You hope all things. You endure all things. You never fail. That's Christian love. Anybody here understand that that is impossible in our own strength? You can't fake this. And the more of us in our congregation that live according to this word, we see it when it's in someone, we go, okay. And it's one thing even for me to stand up here and do it, but if I live my life in front of you with an open Bible, you're able to say, And that's the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to live my life in front of you. I'm supposed to allow you to look and examine my life through this lens. Right? Anybody here terrified? Scared out of your mind? But that's the life we're called to. And this life, walking out into that world, is going to be radically different. Those people living this way can whisper and it'll sound like a thunderclap. Thus saith the Lord. And they'll look at a life and go, that's different. That life is different. And they speak the truth and they stand on the truth unapologetically, but there is a love, a compassion in their lives that is compelling. Something has changed them. And we say, well, it's not something. Someone who stepped into my life one day when I opened my heart to him and he reached inside me and he took from me that wickedness that was my very nature. And he took it, put it on a cross, and he nailed it there. And in his own person, in his own body, on that tree, he stretched his hands out and God the Father judged him as though it was me. So it was you. And when it was all said and done, that wrath was appeased, and God looked at his son and said, okay, anyone that places their faith in you and wants that life, I'll give it to them, and I will change you, and I will make you into the image of my son. That's victory. That's love. That's what God means when he says the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. It is not a trick. It is not a ploy. It is not a platitude. It is really both feet on the ground, living in the light of the real world, in the light of day, saying, here I am. I do not represent me. I invite you to examine my life. This is not a game. We're at war. We're on the winning side. And it is time we lay down the very skilled and artfully practiced tricks of the world and we allowed a life built upon this book to stand in the darkness of the world and just shine. A candle doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to trumpet itself. All it's got to do is glow. And that's real enough. Darkness can never stand up to light. It has to leave. Light casts out darkness. And this light of this life within us is what the world desperately needs to see. By the way, we need to see it in each other. Isn't that encouraging? When we come to a place and we realize, okay, this is home. And this is a place where I can go and I'm going to be encouraged. I'm going to be challenged. I have to live my life according to a certain way. But I want to, because I'm not my own anymore. I'm bought with a price. But it's not futile. If I yield to Him, He will do exactly what He shows me. By my simple yielded obedience, I become an empty vessel. And He comes and inhabits me, and He lives the life that only He can live. So the Christian life ceases to be this big bag of do's and don'ts that I've got to hoist up on my back and trudge wearily through this world. It is the stripping away of the shackles that have held me bound, and now I walk freely. In a power and a victory that I had never known before. This is the message of love. Happy Valentine's Day. Let's pray and then we'll sing. Our Father, thank You for loving us. And thank You that this great love that brought Christ from earth, from heaven to earth, not just to get us out of hell, but to bring heaven down to the planet again. That we could be a testimonial of what is potentially available to everyone. And my flame may not be great, it might not be huge, but it is real, and others can light their candle at my flame. Help us, Lord, to demonstrate that love by the power of Your Spirit. We love You because You first loved us. Help us to remember that. And then to take that love into a world that desperately needs to see it. That we might be like Christ. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. 452, let me ask you to stand.